We turn now to State Representative Sarah Anthony, a Democrat from Lansing who made some waves after the April 30th protest by turning up at the State House with her own escort of armed guards. Sarah Anthony, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
You know, since the last time we spoke, a couple of protests have played out at Lansing, including today's activity. The first one was quite large. The second, on April 30th, was not as big, but it was pretty loud and pretty well-armed. And as it's been reported, a number of folks there were Michigan militia, Proud Boys, or affiliated with other white supremacist groups. What was it like being in Lansing that day?
You know, I can only describe it as terrifying. You know, to see the presence of not only, you know, symbols of hate and racism like nooses and swastikas and Confederate flags, but also the presence of large firearms, and not just on the Capitol lawn, but inside the building where we were trying to vote and just do our job. And, you know, the presence of those hateful symbols like Confederate flags and nooses, I think that they are quite triggering to someone like me. I'm a Black woman, and those send a very clear message of intimidation for an individual like me who is really just there to do the job and do the work of my constituents.
A few days after that April 30th protest, you came to work and you had some friends with you, escorts who were Black men who were also heavily armed in the manner of the original protesters. Can you tell us what informed that decision?
So, the day of the protest, I went on social media, and as you know, I represent the city of Lansing, and I went on Facebook to essentially let people in Lansing know about the lay of the land, you know, and give a bird's eye view of what was happening with the protests. Because when these protests happen, they really do impact, you know, the neighbors and the residents in and around downtown Lansing. But I think in the midst of me giving kind of an update, I think I just had an emotional response. And I think constituents in my community felt as though I didn't appear to be safe, that I felt intimidated. And so a group of folks in our community reached out and said, it didn't seem like you had protection. It didn't seem like you were covered. And so a group of individuals who happened to be African-American showed up to the Capitol and escorted me. And I did feel safer knowing that they were there to ensure that I could get to work okay. Between the buildings, between my office building and the state Capitol. And I know that that's made some international news. And I think that's at the backdrop of all of the tension that our state and our country is feeling right now.
Representative Anthony, the Sergeant of Arms for the Capitol, David Dixon, I believe is an African American. Did you speak to him about everything that's been happening at the Capitol building? I wonder how he felt about what was going on.
Yeah, he and I have had conversations just, and you know, about my personal safety, right? And obviously he can't be everywhere at all times, but you know, I've had multiple conversations with the Michigan State Police and the sergeants and even the Lansing Police. And, you know, I will say that folks have tried to step up and figure out how they can rethink security and rethink ensuring that everyone in that building is safe. And those conversations are ongoing. But I will say that, you know, Chief Dixon has been one of the biggest proponents for doing things to ensure that individuals are safe in the Capitol. But unfortunately, you know, those armed gunmen were within their rights. Currently, it is allowed for folks to carry weapons in the Capitol building. And Michigan is one of the last states to allow these types of firearms to be carried into the Capitol, which, in my opinion, poses a significant threat and risk to not just the elected officials in that building, but our staffs, the sergeant at arms themselves, and the visitors. I mean, you think of the hundreds of thousands of school children who, you know, tour the Capitol on an annual basis. You know, it keeps me up at night to think of what if there were tour groups of, you know, school kids during that tense and chaotic day.
Do you think that you'll bring escorts to the Capitol again when you come to work?
You know, I'm going to assess the situation on a day-to-day basis, right? I have been encouraged by some of the ongoing conversations with the state police and with the sergeant at arms. But at the end of the day, I have to make sure that I get home okay. And that, you know, my constituents aren't calling me, not asking about why I'm voting a certain way, right? And, you know, talking through policy ideas. You know, many of them are just calling to make sure that I'm okay, offering to gift me bulletproof vest, you know? And that is not the conversation that I want to be having with my constituents, particularly during a public health crisis. I want to be making sure that I'm doing the best I can to help folks navigate the unemployment system, right? Helping small businesses reopen, not worrying about whether I'm going to get home alive.
What work are you trying to get done today?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, from the constituents side, I mean, the number one issue that we're facing right now is the unemployment system. I mean, we have had hundreds of individuals contact us to just help them navigate this system. You know, individuals who have never been on unemployment all of a sudden are trying to figure out, you know, how they're going to feed their families, how they're going to pay the rent and ensure that they're just okay. So, you know, I've been working with my staff to ensure that we're closing that gap. But we're also taking this opportunity to think through when this public health crisis is over, what will our world look like? You know, this has shown us that there are so many broken systems, you know, whether it's our healthcare system, our education system, how we're supporting working parents, how we're supporting small businesses. This is probably one of our only opportunities we're going to have to crack open these systems, to not just go back to the way we were, but ensure that we are diligent in fixing some of these systems and actually making them work for everyone. And so that's the work that we're doing on the policy side. And in the backdrop of that, we're going to be looking at a budget that is going to have so many shortfalls. And so it's going to be a very challenging year about how we can, you know, work through the immediate budget needs and the immediate crisis, but then also looking at the things that were broken before we even, you know, heard of the coronavirus, our infrastructure, you know, our broken school system, again, our healthcare. So it's going to be a very challenging year.
The last time we spoke, we were discussing your signature bill, Reconnect, a program that would offer adults 25 and older a tuition-free path to an associate's degree or other certification. And as we talked about, it was signed into law in early April, but it's been on hold with the pandemic. What's going on with the funding situation right now?
You know, so we're still in the middle of this public health crisis. And so all of the financial resources that were earmarked for that program have been rededicated to COVID-19 emergency services. However, I mean, there are ongoing conversations that we're having with the governor's administration, with all of the stakeholders that we brought together to make Reconnect real for people. I mean, it's one of the things that has been a bright spot for individuals. Folks have contacted our office and, you know, contacted me on social media and just said, you know, I'm a frontline worker and I don't want to stay in this job anymore, right? I work at a grocery store and, you know, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be employed, but I need a certification. I need a skilled trade. I need something additional after my high school, you know, diploma to help make my life a little easier, to help me actually, you know, reach the middle class. And I think that the policy is amazing, and I'm glad that it was signed into law. But we are going to be having conversations at the federal level to see how we can find funding to make this program a reality.
Sarah Anthony, thanks for your time. We're looking forward to touching base with you again this year.
Thank you.
Representative Sarah Anthony, a Democrat from Lansing.